So it sounds like there's no advantage to being kind of like a hidden gem. Like the young guy or gal will come in and say, oh, this practice, they haven't raised their fees in 5 years. They're taking all these PPOs. Their collections aren't great. They're not doing all these new procedures. This is the practice I want to buy because I can turn this thing around. It sounds like it's better to have it, you know, to take care of those things before you put it on the market and modernize it.
Yeah, because people aren't going to pay for that. People don't pay for something on the come. Okay? They pay for what is. So, you know, there are certain established valuation methods. And so, and if a practice is doing X amount of dollars, this is what you're going to get for it. And if, in fact, you say to somebody, oh, yeah, look at, but, you know, you could, we've got room in the back here. You could expand, you know, and you could build in, you know, put in a foundation and spend $500,000, and you'd be able to have a lot more treatment rooms. And, you know, yes, you could drop out of this thing and you could do this, but that means that the burden is going to be on the person who's going to buy it. And if they have a brain in their head, they're going to say, look, that's, yes, I want to buy it, but I'm not going to pay you top dollar for your practice because of the huge investment that I'm going to have to put in to be able to make this. So I think that knowing what the buyer is going to be expecting, if you've got 3, 4, 5 years, try to be able to position yourself so that you'll have a much better chance of selling your practice for a lot more money.
And you did say at the beginning of this interview that it's a seller's market. So you're seeing that sellers or the retiring dentists, they're getting a much higher percentage of collections or production or whatever the figure is than they have in many, many recent years?
I think it's been a trend. I think it's been this way for the last 7, 8, 9 years where practice valuations are, you know, again, it depends on which area of the country you're in. There are some differences. But I see way more doctors looking to buy a practice than doctors willing to sell. I mean, we've talked about this before that, you know, in the first 10, 11, 12 years of this century, there was zero growth in the stock market. And so dentists who were saying, oh, I'm going to be able, you know, I'm going to retire at 65. So they were 55 in the year 2000, and they thought they were going to grow at 10% a year. And in fact, there was no growth. And so all of a sudden, instead of them being able to retire, they're saying, oh, my God, you know, I've got to continue to work. So as long as I continue to work, I can make a decent living. So there aren't as many practices. That's why I'm saying I think it's a disparity. There's definitely a supply-demand situation where there are way more people wanting to buy. And, of course, we've had such an accommodative banking policy with the Federal Reserve and the low interest rates that it makes it so easy for financing that you know, practice valuations are up, and if you want to sell your practice, you can do it. And you don't even need a broker. I mean, you and I have talked about that before. So I think that it's a very positive thing for these people. They do not have to fear that they're not going to be able to sell their practice.